Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us tonight, your word and your son. Good Lord, this morning I want to offer a special prayer for the people of Israel. Please look after them and give them whatever they need. All this in Jesus' name we pray. Good morning, everyone. Dennis Lee here. First, before we get into our scripture this morning, I want to get on my soapbox for a second. And because we'd be amiss if we didn't mention the things that are going on in the world. We are so dangerously close to the end, it's unbelievable. Just dangerously close. And that is ultimately what we're going to be talking about today, is the end times, because this is the area of things that I think people need a little bit more understanding, a little more knowledge, a little more background in. Because, believe it or not, and what with everything else in the world, about 99% of the things that you think you know are a lie. Because Satan, his little minions and all this stuff has been corrupted in history. I mean, you can take and look, and you can see history literally being changed right in front of our face. It wasn't a year ago or 2 years ago, and I'm just using this as an example. But, you know, taking sides one way or the other, using this as an example. Just 2 years ago, they were ripping down statues all over the country. Okay? They were erasing history. Whether that be good history or bad history, it was still history. Okay? History is knowledge, which is basically the same kind of things that we're going to be talking about today. But my point is, it's things like that over the course of hundreds or thousands of years, ultimately what happened because they took down those school statues and they don't want to talk about certain things, that part of history ultimately gets erased or changed or both. And that's my point. You have to be careful whenever you're reading this book and understanding it. Getting into the Israeli part of it. And I got to be careful how I say this, because I don't want people to get the wrong idea about my take on Israel. Because I promise you, I'm a full-blown supporter of Israel. But a lot, I'll give you a good example. There's this guy called John Hayden down in Texas, okay? He goes to the far right extreme of Israel, okay? And then you've got these other people that go to the far left extreme of Israel, kind of like the idiots that we got in office of them. The truth of the matter is, the vast majority of the people that call themselves Israelites in the nation of Israel, country of Israel, they're not true Jews. They're not. The vast majority of them are Ashkenazi Jews. I'm not going to get into the history of what those are, but they're not real Jews. Those are the ones that the Bible calls the synagogue of Satan. But at the same time, there are real bona fide Hebrew Jews there. But the thing that everybody seems to forget is that God's going to bring all the Israelites, all the people, not just the Jews, but all the Israelites. That means the ten tribes that were lost, okay? They got to come back in as well. That hasn't happened yet. Contrary to what everybody said, that hasn't happened. But that's going to happen at the very end. Because in reality, and it's a very real reality, you and I could be one of those, out of those 10 tribes. You don't know. They were scattered almost 3,000 years ago. And a lot can happen in 3,000 years, you know. You can't go back six generations in your family. For that matter, I don't know that I can go back more than three generations. No one ever bought it, you know. Because then, you got grandparents, and then they have parents and grandparents, and they had parents and grandparents. That gets spread pretty widely. So you don't know. And then you add that into almost 3,000 years. And it gets really, really wide. I mean, you honestly could be one of the lost 10 tribes. So don't get worked up over all this stuff about, you know, who is Israel, who isn't Israel, you know. The nation that's country is top that. The country of Israel right now, well, we definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, need to be backing them. Without a shadow of a doubt, we don't need to be doing anything derogatory to them. Because this here does say, "Don't go against Israel." We should. But at the same time, understand that the vast majority, not all, the vast majority of those are secular Jews, which means they're not real Jews. They're secular in the fact that I don't want to put a percentage on it, but a good portion of the straight-up atheists, they're Jew by name. And they got that name several centuries ago, not thousands of years ago, just a few centuries ago, from a nation. So, Ashkenaz, which don't even exist anymore, but that's neither here nor there. But nonetheless, just be careful of your views on Israel. So I'll give you a good example. the largest, biggest, most attended, if you want to call it pride, the homosexual movement in the world is in Tel Aviv. It has been for many, 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 many years, even before all this, you know, gotta love them thing came out. So, understand that. I just want to throw that out there so you understand it. Second thing we need to do is these are markers for the end times. What's going on in our relationship? I'm going to point out two things to you. The first little marker, I'll go through the second, but literally forgot what I was going to say on the first one. The invasion, and it was an invasion because the news media had pointed out that the country was literally invaded, doesn't mean that it was. The invasion just went on there as two markers, and I just remember the first marker was. You've got the you got Salman bin Laden, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Okay. He has been making, along with Netanyahu, they've been making a peace agreement. And this peace agreement, nobody knows truly how close they were to it. That they were pretty close to it, and they both agreed, you know, they were making headway, whether it had been done in a month, 6 months, even a year, who knows. But they were literally getting close. They were sitting down at the table talking, which is in and of itself a miraculous thing at this point. But they were making this arrangement. And Iran was not very happy about that. Okay? And I'm just a piece of history. Iran and Saudi Arabia are not as big of enemies as Iran and Israel is. And that's because of the Sunni-Shiite split between the two. Iran thinks that they should be the center of all of Islam for Saudi Arabia. Now, while they are the center of it, they hold two of the three of the biggest things that's in Islam there. And Iran, and it's, I don't know how many of y'all have ever picked up a Quran, but they have prophecies and stuff about the end times in the Quran as well. And one of the things that in their prophecies in the Quran pretty much states is that Iran, they don't use the word Iran, but it's almost, not 100%, but it's almost the God made God out of the Bible war, and it's basically Iran attacking Saudi Arabia and destroying Riyadh and Kaaba and a couple other places over there, Medina and the Kaaba. And there are a lot of people out there that think that in and of itself will not happen at the end times for multiple reasons. And you can see it in one of these studies of the Bible in depth. You see that this, while that will take place, and very well could take place, it's not necessarily what the Bible says. So, we believe that there. The other thing is Christ said that whenever they say peace and safety, that's when sudden destruction occurs. Okay? The thing that you always have to remember, always, no matter what you're studying in the Bible, always set yourself in Jerusalem because that's the center of the universe as far as the Bible goes. That's the pivotal point. That's where everything starts and ends, right there. place yourself sitting on the Temple Mount and look out, outwards as you're reading your Bible. Understand that everything is your original center. So whenever they say peace and safety, always think to yourself, you're sitting in the middle of the road. But you can't have peace and safety if there's not the wars that preceded. Peace and safety means nothing if there wasn't a war preceding it. Okay. And I'm not saying by any means that what's going on right now is bringing peace and safety. It's going to bring on a war or anything else. I don't know. Only time will tell. But it's just important that you put, you can't put the cart before the horse, so to speak. So in order for them to have peace and safety, there has to be something for them to say, there something before that, you know, some kind of war. You know, and people say, well, you know, we've had wars, rumors of wars for 2,000 years. They're true. That's why you can't say peace and safety yet. There has to be a literal war, not just, this has to be right there. Jerusalem center. Okay? Always remember that as the Jerusalem center. So the nation of Israel has to be a war. The war has to be taken right on up to the city of Jerusalem. And that's what's on. Whether that happens out of this, who knows? Okay. Who knows? But I just wanted you to understand, and to some people get really, really worked up. The same people that were saying that we, that, you know, thousands or even millions of people should have been raptured a couple weeks ago, they're the same ones that are going to start hitting the bandwagon about this as well. The only thing that I'm going to say ultimately is sit back, pull yourself out of the bubble, and look at what, look at the big picture. Always look at the big picture. If you get in a position where you can't see the forest for the trees, you're in a bad position. And that's what happened for a lot of people. They get laser attached on one thing, and that's all they see. They can't see everything else. So back up out of the bubble. Don't listen to all the garbage that's being spewed out on the news. That's what about 90% of that stuff is just straight up garbage. Because they're pushing an agenda. Pull yourself out of the bubble and look and see what you're really doing. And with that said, we're going to get into our study this morning. We're going to be in Daniel chapter 9. And the reason I want to go to chapter 9 of Daniel, I'm going to tell you this stuff before we get into it. This way you can kind of see what I'm talking about. And also, by the way, I want to point out something else before we get into it. One of the last things that's said in the book of Daniel, one of the very last things that's said in there, it says, this book flowed until the end. In other words, a lot of the stuff that people have been saying for hundreds of years might not be right because the book's been closed up until the time of the end. Guess what? I think pretty much all of us agree we're at the time of the end. So this book is going to start spewing out information that you've never seen before. It's going to start spewing out information that you never thought of before. And what you need to do is you need to start looking at things from a whole different perspective. Don't listen to, I shouldn't say don't listen to, get yourself tied to one idea. And I'm going to use the pre-tribulation rapture thing as an example. Okay? And I'm not picking on these people. I'm truly not. But if you, the one thing that 99.9% of the pre-trib people have is they don't think there's any other possible thing that can happen. And that puts them in a bad situation because they don't, they're absolutely 10,000% sure they're going to be raptured before any bad thing happens to them. You're wrong. It's prophecy. No matter what you think, it can be wrong. And the fact that they base a good portion of that off of this chapter we're going to read tells you, and it says right there that it's sealed up till the end. Okay? So don't get yourself tied to one thought process. Be open to others. Okay? And I'm going to give you some different thought processes this morning in this particular chapter. I'm not going to say that I believe it. I'm not going to say that I don't believe it. The point I'm wanting more than anything is for you to take the simple stuff that I say this morning and for you to go back and use it as study material, to study, to come to your own conclusion, okay? I'm not saying I believe it. I'm not saying that it's a fact. I'm not saying that what you've heard in before, I believe. I'm not saying that it's a fact. The point is I want you to read and study. Study. That's the whole point behind what I do. Okay. I don't want you to take one word that I ever say and hold to it. Study and read for yourself. Come to your own conclusions because I haven't multiple times stated that that's what I want people to do, is study for themselves. I give you some points so you can study for yourself and come to your own conclusion. Because in the grand scheme of things, it's between you and your Lord and Savior. Okay? It's not me that brings you in. It's not Pastor Tony that brings you in. We're not the ones that are in charge of your salvation. You are. Another thing that's vitally important to understand whenever you're studying the end times, and it's the major thing of the end times, no matter how you look at it, is repentance. Repentance, repentance, repentance. That's the whole point behind it. That's why they're doing it. That's why God's doing it to start with, is to get people to repent and turn to Him. That's the whole point behind it. So remember that. Repentance, repentance, repentance. Okay. It's like, you know, location, location, location. Remember, penance, repentance, repentance. The biggest thing that comes out of Daniel 9 is where they come up with a 7-year tribulation. Okay. And we'll get into that in just a second. But it's all based off of Daniel's 70 weeks or 7 times 70. So, everybody agrees wholeheartedly that the 69th week has already ended. And we are started into, or getting ready to start into, or already have started into the 70th week. Okay? The vast majority of people out there think that the 70th week is the start of the 7-year tribulation period. That's where they get the 7 years from, 7 weeks. And 1 week is a year time frame. Yeah. But whenever you go back the next week, look at what everybody says and how they came up with this. Math on that, I thought. And this is where I challenge you to actually do some research on your own. Okay? In order to do that, you have to dig into what is considered a year. Okay? Daniel was written in Babylon. Babylon, at this particular juncture, whenever this was written, Babylon, and the Hebrews at that time used a 354 or a 355-day year. what they used. That was the calendar that they had at that particular time, 354 or 355-day year. The day started at sunset. That's also key. Now, about 200 years later, Babylon, because the seasons were getting all hunkered all around, Babylon come up with a way to fix it so the seasons would be more steady. So they added in a month every so often. Over a couple of years, they would add a month. And the Israelites, because some of them were still, you know, remember, all the Jews didn't leave Babylon all they did. Okay? So they still had ties to Babylon even after they went back to Israel. So Babylon came up with that in a month in there. So they created a 360-day year, which is, for the most part, the same year that they've got now. Both of those years, the original 355 and the original 354 day year and the 360 day year were lunar years. Okay? Just like the Bible tells them to you, they were lunar years. Along comes Rome. Rome worshiped the sun god. So being as they were worshiping the sun god, they thought it more natural to have a solar year. And whenever they created the solar year, they came up with a 365-day year, okay? Which, for the most part, matches what we have now. Not exactly, but close. Because even with a solar year, even with a solar year, or the Julian calendar, which is solar year, the Julian calendar, which is 365 days, they still had to do some bouncing around, add in a leap year every now and then. But it still wasn't quite right. It wasn't far off. So I'll give you a good example that if we follow the Julian calendar that was created in, well, I think it's 65 BC or something like that. Follow the Julian calendar that they used from original right up to this very day right now. We would be 14, almost 15 days off, which isn't bad over the course of 2,000 years compared to, you know, the whole year being almost reversed using the lunar calendar. So that's not terrible more. But you got to understand that stuff whenever you're doing your math and doing your counting and all that stuff for doing it. So these guys that come up with this seven-year tribulation, which the whole concept of the seven-year tribulation isn't very old either. That's what they did. When you do the math, in any way you look at it, no matter how you look at it, they're 3.5 years off. Literally, they're, and I challenge you to go and do that. Prove me wrong on this stuff. They're literally 3.5 years off. And the way they fixed it, felt they were being cute whenever they did it. In the grand scheme of things, will change the year of Christ's death. And that's why there's been so much controversy over the years as to what year he died. He died in 30 AD, he died in 33 AD. Well, the Bible tells us that he was 30 years old when he started his ministry. He ministered for 3.5 years. That means he was 33.5 years old, roughly. You know, we don't know the exact day of his birth, so we can't say exactly how old he was, you know, to the day. But he was for sure 33 years old when he died. Well, for him to be crucified in 33 AD, that means he would have had to have been born year zero, which there is no number year zero, but that's the year that he would have had to have been born, which means that they were going back to the pagan stuff of thinking he was born on December 25th, year zero, which is still prominent out there in the world today. A lot of people still believe that stuff. And it's because of this garbage that they started spewing back years ago. So this brings up another question. Does the Bible say that 69, the year 69, did it end at his crucifixion, or did it end whenever he started his preaching? Because that makes a difference there as well. Because all the Bible tells us is he was cut off. It doesn't say that he was healed, he was cut off. And cut off could be that he was cut off from his people, which when he started preaching, he was cut off from a lot of his people, particularly the Pharisees. So, again, it's important that I stress that I'm not saying that's what this is. I'm not. I'm not saying that it's not what this is either. It's just a point that I want you to do is to study. Because when you start studying this stuff, it brings you into other things. And those things will bring you into other things, which brings you a whole lot closer to understanding and you're building your faith in our Lord Savior Himself. So, if this is true, then it changes how you look at your eschatology for the rest of the whole thing. Okay. If this is true, by the way, I just want to point out that the Bible actually coincides with that theory too, by the way, because it plainly states you can't know that you're in tribulation until the man of sin has been revealed and understood and sitting in the holy place. And then from that point on, there's 1,260 days, or in Daniel, 1,290 days. I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole other rabbit hole you have to go down. But so in the grand scheme of things, it truly don't matter. In the grand scheme of things, it truly don't matter. Okay, because if you don't know, there's still known 3.5 years. Even though 1,260 days ain't quite 3.5 years, it's actually 3 years and 5 months or 4 months and a few days. But nonetheless, 3.5 years, they're calling it that. But again, are we talking the 3.5 years being 360-day years, or the 365-day years? And whenever you study this stuff, you need to understand, you need to put yourself, again, Jerusalem Central, using God's calendar, because He gives it, He's going to give you a calendar in Leviticus if you're looking for it, using God's calendar. So I think, personally, just me, that we should go with the lunar calendar, with a 354-day calendar, and then you're doing all your math for counting, all that other stuff, okay? But don't listen to what the secular Jews use, which is a 360-day calendar, because that actually came out of Babylon and all this other stuff. So we'll leave that there. So we'll go ahead and get into our study this morning. I just wanted to point that stuff out to you so you can understand a little better. And a lot of you may never even known that there were all these multiple different calendars out there, which, by the way, is another reason is almost impossible to pinpoint the day and the hour. If, though, you use what God gave us brings it a whole lot closer to being able to do something. Okay. And without a shadow of a doubt, honestly, my heart of hearts, knowing that you can pinpoint the month for me, I really do. The day and the hour, I'm not going to get into that right now, because that's a lot more in-depth and a lot more further down the road than what we want to deal with today. So let's go on into Daniel chapter 9. I've done talk for you under longer than I intended to. Anyway. All right. In the first year, Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years to the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confessions, and said, O Lord, the great day and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and we have committed iniquities, and we have done wickedly, and we have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts, from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which have spake thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as this day to men of Judea, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near, and that are far off. Though all the other countries, whether thou hast driven them because of their trespasses, that have trespassed against thee, O Lord, to us belong confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against them. Neither have we obeyed the voice of our Lord, our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his service of prophets. Now I'm going to stop right there and just point out something. That, in and of itself, is a marvelous prayer. Marvelous prayer. Because he's setting forth everything that really needs to be said whenever you pray. Yea, all Israel has transgressed thy law, even by departing, that we might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath is written in law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against thee. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore, hath the Lord washed upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he hath done. For we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord, our God, that they brought forth thy people out of the land of Egypt with mighty hand, and has forgotten thee renown as we say. We have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away. And thy city Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear thy prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is destined for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thee, incline thine ear, and hear, open thine eyes, and behold thy desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for righteousness, but for thy mercies. O Lord, hear, O Lord, forgive, O Lord, hearken, and do not defer, and do not defer, for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people and presenting my supplications before my Lord, my God, for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, which is prayer. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved, and before thee understand the matter considering the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sin, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, and understand, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 3 score and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 3 score and 2 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be flooded, and unto the end of war desolations are determined. He shall confirm the covenant with me for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the obligations to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
Okay.
Now that right there is the 70 weeks prophecy, and out of that is where the 7-year tribulation period comes from. Okay, because if you look at it, you've got the 7 weeks, and then it talks about the 2 weeks. It gives you the whole of the 70 weeks. Okay. The 3 score and 2 weeks comes up to the 69, which is where it says the Messiah will be cut off.
Okay.
Again, it says cut off, it doesn't say killed, but not for himself. And then it stops right there. And my Bible has got two colons there, so I think that's an end of a thought process. And the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Stops right again right there. And the end thereof shall be for the flood, and unto the end at the war of desolations are determined. So you got 3 separate thought processes. Brother. And then you got another separation. And he shall confirm a covenant with me for 1 week. Stop right there.
Okay.
And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and obligation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the vessel. Okay? Now, what a lot of people think, and I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just pointing, I want to give you two different perspectives here. Okay? What a lot of people think is this literally stops talking about the Messiah whenever it says he'll be cut off. That's where they think that whole thing about the Messiah stops. And from that point on, it's talking about the Antichrist. However, if, and the reason they do that is because they know that there's only 69 weeks used up there. No matter how you add it up, it's still only 69 weeks that's added up at that point. Okay? So there's still another week out there. So they had to come up with, figure out a way to rectify that whole process there. And I'm not saying that they're wrong in understanding of the 69 weeks. I'm not. I totally agree with them. But now, let's reread, starting at verse 26, let's reread that. And keep in, and don't separate it from being, from going from Messiah to Antichrist. Read it just how it literally says what they're talking about. Okay. And after 62 weeks, shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war desolation are determined. Okay. Now what did Christ do whenever he came here? Okay. He definitely started a new covenant, without a shadow of a doubt. Okay. He started a whole new covenant. And plus take for an example, again, this is, I'm just giving examples here, food for thought. Yeah. But let's say that the Messiah was cut off at the start point of his ministry when he turned 30 years old. Yeah. He was cut off at the start point of his ministry. So that was the start point of his ministry. Was the end of the 69th week and the start of the 70th week. Think about this. Okay. He was cut off halfway through his ministry, and it says for 1 week, he was cut off in the middle of his week. That's 3.5 years. That's literally the 3.5 years that he's there. Okay. At that point, if you look at it, and still, you can still see that the Antichrist is in there at the very bottom, and everything still falls into play with how everybody's still saying it. It's just that you don't have 7 weeks, you have 3.5 weeks. So, and again, whenever you read the Bible in Revelations, it never mentions one time 7 years. It always mentions 3.5 years. And the 3.5 years always starts whenever the Antichrist comes into play. And I know I'm not getting explained that very well to you, but whenever you go back and you can read it, and particularly if you go back and you understand the understanding of the months, days, years, and the way the lunar calendar works, and the way points it out in Leviticus, the map truly doesn't have that. No matter how you look at it, no matter which version of math you look at, there's still 3.5 years outside their window. no matter how you do them. So, and again, that is not in and of itself something to stress yourself over. It's a point that, again, the whole point behind this conversation is to bring you into the Bible, to get you into study, to get you into the understanding of God's Word. And again, I'm not saying that I believe that. I'm not saying that I don't believe it. I'm not at this particular juncture, because we've got a lot more cover with this thing to understand what's going on. And for you to understand the big picture, you got to start pulling yourself out a little bit, see the bubble. And again, one of the things you need to understand is the book of Daniel is sealed up. It was sealed up, 2,600 years ago, and now it'll be almost 2,700 years ago. It was sealed up then. You got to understand that it says that a lot of this stuff can start popping itself out. And you need to start spending a little bit of time in there. And I want to read one more thing to you, just real quick. A lot of people don't even know this verse is in the Bible. And it's literally right after Daniel. So I'll say it. And this is in Hosea. It's in chapter 6 of Hosea. I'm just going to read one verse to you. And I don't like reading just one verse, because you can get it all. You can make something out of whatever you want to read just one verse. But chapter 6 is a chapter of repentance. Remember that? The whole chapter is to bring people to repentance. But the one verse that I want to bring to you is chapter 6, verse 2. It says, after 2 days, he will revive us. And in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. That is a clear talking about 3 days. They're talking about this one. It's all talking about that. Clear understanding of when Christ is going to return and how it's going to happen. And you go, well, that makes no sense. But yeah, actually it does. If you go back and get your full understanding of how the days work, how go back to Leviticus and read how God told them to count times and days and months and years. And a lot of that stuff will start making a lot more sense. And that may be what we'll do next time. I'm giving the privilege. Because we'll go to Leviticus and we'll discuss how God determines his days, months, years. Because a lot of the stuff in the Bible, it gives days, months, years. And if you don't understand, you go by what we go by today, it screws your mind up, because, that's what you're used to, so your mind automatically goes to that. It defaults to the Gregorian calendar. It just automatically defaults to it. You can't help it. But that's not what God does. And God goes on a lunar calendar, which has 354 or 355 days. And that's all important. It's extremely important whenever you start giving into prophecy. Because God, whenever he gives a reason, he's going to use his timetable. His timetable. And his timetable is based off of a lunar calendar. And that's how a lot of these people, good intentions or not, they screw stuff up, because they don't go, you have to use the whole word. not just bits and pieces of it. You can't cherry pick. It's the whole Word of God that you have to use. And when you do that, you come up with a whole different perspective than what you've been taught in a lot of cases. In a lot of cases. And I'm not going to lie to you. I'll be just as blind as I can be. On some of this stuff that I've been studying, it just blows my mind. It really does. It just blows my mind. Because you've been taught since you were a child that this is the way it is and this is how it's going to happen. And then you get in there and start reading it. And what this is.
Change.
Yeah. And what this is. And then you start digging a little further and you go, that really ain't what it says. And you start digging a little further and a little further, and then all of a sudden you're going down a rabbit hole, and then you come up with the whole thing of you've been lied to your whole life. Not only have you been lied to about everything else in the world, but now they're lying to you about the Bible as well. And it really does. It sets your faith. Not faith in God, but your faith in man. It just shakes it to the foundations. And that's what you get to do. You really got to spend some quality time in this book. Quality time. Most Bibles, most good Bibles are put that way. Whether it be at the bottom, some have them down here at the bottom of the page. Some of them have a little strip in the center. Some of them have it literally after each little verse. But there's always some reference points that you need to be aware of. And that reference point, whenever you read something, it'll have a reference point. Go to that reference point and see what it's talking about, because it's generally the same idea. Not necessarily the same one, but the same idea that's being followed. And that one will have another one. And whenever you start doing all that bouncing around, you may read one verse out of a chapter and start wind up going through half the Bible and instead of taking you're playing 30 minutes or an hour to read, you might find yourself sitting there 5 or 6 hours and all over the entire Bible. And that's a good thing, by the way. That's a real good thing. And it's whenever you start doing that, it starts opening up to you. And you'll be amazed with the things that come out to you. And again, I just want to say I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I don't want to change anybody's eschatology to believe what you want to believe. But study it. If you don't go out and at least hear, it's like listening to the news, okay? If all you listen to is CNN and MSNBC for your news, you're going to be brain dead, okay? That's what you're going to be. You're going to be brain dead. You're going to be brainwashed into one line of thought, okay? If you only listen to, I hate using an example because I think they're as liberal as everybody else now, but if you only listen to Fox News, then you're still going to be brainwashed into their agenda. You need to get your news from multiple sources, and then take the little bits that are the same in all of them, and that little small smidgen is probably the only thing that they said that was the truth. They'll all tell you the truth, but they're going to spin it in their own way. They just take that one little bitty spot, Israel was invaded, and that's probably the only thing that they said that actually was true out of all this mess that's going on. And learn for yourself. Do your own research. Do your own study. That's why I've said I don't think out how many countless times study the Bible. Don't read it. Study it. There's a distinct difference between the two. And when you do that, this thing will start opening up all kinds of doors. And when you do that also, you're also going to find that what you have been taught your entire life, you're going to find some of that stuff not to be true. For an example, for me, I was brought up and raised believing in a pre-tribulation rapture. Well, me studying the Bible absolutely changed that. I do not believe that now. actually, at this point, I think it's kind of my heresy. But that's my personal view. And I got that personal view by studying the Bible.
Okay?
Yeah. They say, well, he can come at any day or hour. He may come for you and I individually at any day or hour. But if plainly says that the man of sin has to be revealed first, plainly says so. And it plainly states after the tribulation of those days. This brings in a whole other topic that I don't have time to get into, which relates back to what we was dealing with today, of the 3.5 years sin. So I'll let you ponder on that one for a minute. Actually, you can study it yourself. So that puts a whole new eschatology. Remember I said that earlier, that what we said today, it will look quite literally, put a whole different viewpoint on your eschatology, and it very well could. But we're taking baby steps, because it's real, real long, real thick, real in-depth, and we'll go down a rabbit hole. But once, I encourage people to study this stuff, try to follow along as we go. Because it's really in depth, and I think it's crucially and vitally important that you understand it. It's more so in the fact that you understand that you got some hard road ahead of you. If you think that you're too good, because of a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding of when the rapture is going to be, that's not a good idea. Even if you still, after we're done, still believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, you still need to be prepared for a hard road. You still need to be prepared for persecution. You still need to be prepared to put your head in the chopping block. Okay? You go, well, what do you mean by that? Well, that's literally what the Bible says will happen to Christians, and then they will cut your head off. And it says that. So we'll stop there. You know, I probably went over more than I intended to. But study your Bible, please. And remember the whole point behind the end time scenario was repentance and bringing you closer to God. That is the point behind it. Minutes, bringing you closer to God and building your faith. All right, let's go to the Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for your understanding of your word. Again, Father, we ask for your prayer and blessings to the people of Israel. Please be with them. Give them the strength to guidance, the will for all, but they will stand what's going on in their nation of them. And Father, we'll pray for all our people on our prayer list. I also pray that you will start opening up your word. Know that we're getting close to the end. We need your word. We need you to help build our faith so we can endure the persecution that we're about to walk on. We also know that we will also go through some daily trials and tribulations. Some of them will pass, some of them will fail. We pray that you'll be with us, guide us, and lead us through those trials and tribulations. Help us to learn and understand as we grow. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm.